Well, I'd like to begin today's sermon by sharing with you four general scenarios that I believe that we can relate to. Now, we may not be able to relate to all four, but certainly one out of these four, I would think that any of us in here would be able to relate to. Here's the first scenario. You're sitting in a doctor's office, and he's telling you that you have something that you can't even pronounce, this long word. And as he continues to talk, he tells you that what you have is typically brought on by stress. Perhaps we can relate to some parts of our body. We know we are under stress because that particular part of our body decides to tell us that we're under stress. You drop your head a little as you listen and you recognize that what he is saying is true. You know you have felt tremendous stress. The trial or trials you have been under have taken a toll on you, and now it is to the point that a doctor is telling you, look, if you don't alleviate some stress or change your lifestyle, this is something that is so serious that it could even lead to your death. Scenario number two. For as long as you can remember, you've had financial troubles. You recognize when you look back that this has been a constant state in which you even grew up in. Now as an adult with your own family, you are realizing how many decisions that you have made that continue to place you in some of those same situations time and time again. No matter how hard you try to overcome your past, for some reason you seemingly continue to stay in a difficult financial position. You can't quite put your finger on it, but the pressure is sure there. All you want is some relief from this constant pressure. Scenario number three. You have a relationship that you value and have valued for many, many years. But as time has passed, the relationship has become very strained. It's not been one thing in particular. It's been perhaps a chain of things that when you look back, you sometimes wonder how you've come to the point that you have. You're not happy about it. You make a continual effort to change that. But you also know that it takes both parties being willing to work together and, frankly, both parties being able to see the same issues. In the meantime, the stress can be overwhelming. No matter how hard you try, you realize that you are so limited in so many ways. It's definitely a stressful situation. Scenario number four. You've had a few different jobs. You're well liked at work, and you do good work. Yet the last couple of jobs you had, you were unable to keep because you wouldn't work on God's Sabbath day. You know what God tells you in the Bible, and so you are making the stand that you know that He expects you to. But you're also wondering how many times you might have to go through this, because it's been more than once that you've had to experience this. It's stressful, because you still have to pay bills. And you have other people telling you, well, look, if you just work on the Sabbath every so often, surely God would understand. Now, please don't raise your hands or even shake your head. But I have a question for you today. Can you relate to any of these at all? If you can, then I hope today's sermon will serve as great encouragement to you. After all, the Word of God and His inspiration will always bring encouragement to us. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 13, the 13th Psalm. And as we turn over here, I'd like to begin reading in verse 1. Or actually, I will stick with verse 1, Psalm 13. Verse 1 says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, it says in verse 2. Let's stop here at the end of verse 1. This is today's sermon title. Lord, how long must I battle? This is a sobering verse to consider. Reality is that you and I, if we live long enough, are going to experience some tremendous, I will say, growth opportunities in our lifetime. That's a nice way of saying there are times that are trying, times that are tough, and we all have them. Sometimes we can find ourselves asking, Lord, how long? I need relief. How long until you intervene in my life, in the lives of those I love, or on the world scene? I know you're still there, but how much longer till you intervene? Fellow family members, let's each consider something right now that we can take to the proverbial bank. God has not left His people, nor will He ever leave His people. God hears us, and He gives us everything we need to finish our spiritual race. That is absolutely priceless. We should never conclude that at any time something challenging or evil, even horrible, happens to believers, that God somehow is not listening or that He has abandoned us. If that were the case, how could we ever explain what happened in the history of the early church? How could we explain the persecution and the death of Jesus Christ? His apostles and disciples, the first five books of the New Testament. What about two key men who were mentioned, Stephen and James, the brother of John, who were killed so early in their lives? Only one of the original 12 apostles died a natural death. One. Folks, it's always been this way. Now, I want to be very careful to convey to you that is not meant to be discouraging. It is meant to remind us that this walk of life is indeed a challenge. But God has given us His truth, shown us what is in store yet ahead in the future, and how He wants us to live. And He reminds us time and time and time again that He's there for us. But He wants us to keep coming back to Him. Sometimes today, unfortunately, it's always been this way through time, people turn in a different direction rather than turning to God. Where do you turn when times are tough? Really? Where's your mind go? What do you look for? What do you think about? Do you go in a dark hole? Do you say, wait a minute, I know God expects more of me than this. I just need to keep getting on my knees and I need to keep going to Him. I need Him to know how serious this is to me and how important this is. Where do we turn? What do we do? Most of us have, let's just say this. Let me give you a couple of other examples. What about Abel? Here, the very first servant of God in the Bible, Abel, was murdered by his own brother. Joseph, again, one of the sons of Jacob, who was faithful to God. Consider all the abuse he suffered before he was finally promoted in Egypt. Most of us have heard the expression of the patience of Job. Let me ask you this question. Why is that expression used to this very day? Because Job suffered horribly. He lost his whole family, except his wife. He suffered physical pain with terrible boils for an extended period of time. He did not have an easy life. What about the prophets who suffered and lost their lives? You know, they're real examples of suffering and complimented in the Bible for their patience. They were. Let's go to James chapter 5, if you would. James 5. You know, sometimes it's a matter of resetting our mindset, isn't it? Maybe we allow something to beat on us and kind of get to us, and then we have to come to that reality of, what do I really want to do? Do I want to stay in this frame of mind? Do I want to allow this to beat me down? Or do I really want to do something different? James chapter 5 and verse 10 says, "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure." The real question is not how long will God hide himself before he acts. Instead, the question is how long will we quietly and faithfully wait for God to complete his plan? How long will you and I be patient? The rest of verse 11 says, "You've heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." Now, you and I could believe that, I think, under normal circumstances, but it gets tested sometimes, doesn't it, when times are challenging and difficult? I really believe, and I think everybody in this room senses and knows and feels the same way on this, that since this pandemic that the world has been dealing with and experiencing, it's had major impact not only on the physical health of individuals, but very much on the mental outlook. The mental outlook is key for you and me in God's church, because he gave us the ability to know where to turn. He's given us everything we need so that we can see what to do. It just comes down to whether we're willing to do it and if we're going to be consistent with it. According to what we just read here in verse 11, the Lord's very compassionate and merciful. In Job's case, God gave him thousands of livestock, 7 new sons and 3 daughters. He was able to see 4 more generations of his family live. So, no, God did not hide himself forever. He will not wait forever before intervening and accomplishing his will. Go back to Genesis chapter 6 and see what we can learn in regards to this topic. Genesis chapter 6. What a blessing to know the truth. Genesis chapter 6. To know where to turn. And let's read verse 3. "The Lord said, 'My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Now this is breaking into the beginning of the story of Noah. And as we know, God did send a flood that covered the earth 120 years later. God will accomplish his will in the time that he has chosen and not before. In the meantime, we have been instructed to wait, to be patient. Now, that can be quite a challenge for us when we're hurting, can't it? As I shared with you in my, I think I mentioned this in the weekly update. You know, you read about, in my case, what I feel like I'm dealing with right now, and I don't want to talk about it a ton, but I, you know, to read something that says, well, it may take up to 2 years to get the uric acid out of your system. Well, how many spikes of pain do you have to deal with if it is 2 years before it comes out of your system? Well, that's just not a healthy place for my head to be honest with you. I need it to be somewhere else. So I'm determined that that's exactly what it's going to be. Whatever the circumstances are, I know where to turn. I know God heals. I know you know the same thing. Sometimes, again, it's a matter of mind over matter. Where is our head when we're facing various battles and challenges? God will intervene. Sometimes it's not as quickly as we might like. But his timing is perfect. It can be quite a challenge for us when we're hurting. It can be a struggle when we see others hurting. I feel like, I don't know if you feel the same way or not, but I find myself feeling that I hurt as much many times when I see somebody else that's really hurting with something as much as anything I experience in life. If you truly care about people and they really are your family, which I believe we are, when you see somebody hurting, you hurt with them. And sometimes you cry out to God, God, please intervene. This person really, really needs this. We might even say, well, I greatly appreciate that God does have a plan in which every person can ultimately choose his way of life. But in the meantime, it's very hard to see people suffering from physical or mental illness or from bad financial decisions or from addictions or from hurtful decisions made by those over us, perhaps in leadership role at work or in our home. You know, I remind you again, God has not left, nor will he ever leave his people. God hears us, and he gives us everything we need to finish our spiritual race. One of the many promises that God gives us is found in Romans chapter 8, so let's turn there and remind ourselves of what we are told. God gives us many promises. One we should never lose sight of is found right here in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, let's begin in verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called or are called according to his purpose. Now I can stop right here and say this is a verse that many of you are familiar with, if not all of you, and perhaps a number of cases you may say this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It sure seems to get quoted often by different people. But then notice verse 29 says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." You and I have been blessed to the point that we are first fruits. We have been given the truth. We have been given God's Holy Spirit. We've been given everything we need to be able to battle through whatever might be out in front of us. To lose sight of that, oh, that would be incredibly horrible. I hope none of us ever loses sight of that. And that when we sense and recognize or we feel we are experiencing a tremendous amount of anguish in our lives, no matter whether it's physical pain, emotional, spiritual, whatever we might be battling, mental circumstances, that we always remember where to turn. Because the last thing we ever want to do is turn somewhere else. Think about what we're told in verse 28. We know. So I ask you, do you know? We know that all things work together for good to those who love God. You and I, God's people, are a work in progress. What that should also tell us is that it takes time throughout our lives, and patience is going to be required of us. It is critically important, however, as verse pointed out in 28 here, that we never stop loving God. When you love God, what do? You follow what he says. When you don't love God, you don't pay much attention to what he says, or you don't value it in the way you should. And then we start making unwise decisions. Then we start being open to deception. You know, Ben Franklin once said, "He that can have patience can have what he will." Now, I don't know that that's absolutely true when it comes to physical life. However, it definitely is true regarding how God works. Patience is a real virtue, but it's an extremely rare one. When we practice it, we do benefit considerably. Yet the reality is that when we are suffering or see someone that we love suffering, it is challenging for us to be patient sometimes and to keep our eyes locked on the bigger picture. If Satan can find any way to discourage us, do you think he's going to stop trying? No, he's absolutely going to continue to do everything that he can to get us to turn and look and think about something, anything, other than what God wants us to look at. Fellow family members, God has placed us on earth to develop his divine nature. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1. God has placed us on earth to develop his divine nature. 2 Peter 1, and by the way, in order for that to become a reality, he has to give us something in particular, which he's very happy to do when he calls us, and that is his Holy Spirit. But then we have to respond to that, right? 2 Peter chapter 1, that's 1 Peter, that won't help me. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. Now I'm going to read this time from the NIV, the New International Version. His divine power, notice it is God's power, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge. That must sink in and it must resonate with us. God gives us everything we need. Notice that it is by God's divine power, which He has already given us, that is, by His Holy Spirit residing within us. When we choose to commit to this walk of life, and we tell God, You are indeed first in my life, I will listen to what You say, and I will follow that. Because after all, I am aware that You are the one who gave me life, and ultimately You want me in Your family forever as a spirit being. Everything the Scripture says here, we need for life and godliness. Well, that's nothing short of astounding. What do you make of that? We know that God does not exaggerate. Do you believe that you now have everything that you need for life and godliness? How does this apply to us? Peter is here writing to Christians. People just like you and me. The letter has been preserved for us, and that applied to God's people, and what applied to God's people then applies to us now. And we are unaware of what is available to us, or are we unaware of what is available to us now? Do we believe this scripture? Are we conscious of God's help? Or do we doubt that we have it? If we don't think we receive His kind of help or this kind of help, why is it that we don't? Now, God says here that He provides whatever we need for life and godliness. What more do we need to be told than to know that? This means that God gives us whatever is necessary to live a godly life, no matter the circumstances that we may find ourselves in. We all filter, as you've heard me say before, what we hear in different messages through where we are at a given time. I don't mean to overblow the times that we're living in right now, because times are haven't been easy for a good while in the sense of trying to live God's way of life. There are always inherent challenges that crop up in our lives. But the reality is, there's so much more anger in today's world than there used to be even a few years ago. And that will find its way into God's church if we let it. And I say we, it's up to each of us individually. None of us can do something for somebody else. We have to be determined, this isn't going to happen in my life. I choose something else. Think about this. When God gives us His Holy Spirit, He gives us an invaluable tool which helps us to live as He wants us to. It works within us as we have that kind of mindset He expects us to have. We didn't start out that way. Nobody does. But we should be different from what we were when we first started. Here's a question. Are you much more like God now than when you were first baptized? Are you more like God in this subject? Are we more patient? One of the things that seems to be a natural course within human nature is maybe we aren't particularly patient when we're younger, and then maybe we become determined to be more patient, particularly if we've chosen this path of life. But then as we get older and our bodies begin to break down more and we face different challenges, sometimes our patience is very tested with that. And our fuse seems to be shorter rather than longer in terms of just letting something out that we shouldn't. If God provides everything we need, no matter our circumstances, We have what we need. We just have to remind ourselves of that sometimes and go back to Him. If there's things we need to repent of because we've allowed ourselves to get in a place, a frame of mind where we shouldn't, then say, wait a minute, God gives me everything I need. I need to respond to that. So here's a question. Are we much more like God than when we were first baptized? He's more than willing to help us as we show Him willingness on our part. So if I ask the question, how long do we fight the good fight? Well, the answer to that is until we draw our last breath as a physical human being. That's what He says. We've got to finish our race. As we all know, we're living in trying times. It can sometimes be a battle not to get bent out of shape over what we see or hear going on around us. On the other hand, God gives you and me everything that we need to finish our race. It's essential that we never lose sight of this. Continuing in verse 3 here, through our knowledge of Him. In other words, knowledge of God is important. It is vital. Without knowledge of God, His will, His word, His truth, there is no hope of happiness in this life nor salvation. It is God's word which, when applied, gives us stability. It gives us a reason for living. It gives us contentment, peace of mind now, and the wonderful hope for eternal life. And you cannot beat that. This makes life worth living. And it's the only thing that makes life worth living. Continuing in the verse, it says, who called us? So through our knowledge of Him, who called us? Again, we have a special calling. We've been called out of this world, placed into His church. Remember what John 6 and verse 44 shares with us? No one can come to me, that is Jesus Christ, unless the Father calls him or draws him. So we are called by God, set apart by the great Almighty God, and given knowledge about Him and His will. Verse 3 of 2 Peter 1 continues, by His own glory or power and goodness. Verse 4 says, through these, His glory and goodness, He has given us His very great, notice the emphasis on very great, or the New King James says exceedingly, and precious, one commentary puts it this way, superlatively great, promises, so that through them, these great promises, they are the object of our faith, you may participate in the divine nature. So God's divine nature, the fact that He is spirit, knows all, has existed forever. We get the opportunity, if we finish our race, to participate in that same divine nature. So God's divine power enables us to take on His divine nature, to take on His characteristics. He impresses on us and infuses in us divine qualities, true knowledge, understanding, wisdom, and other fruits of the Holy Spirit. Again, this is all done by God's Spirit as we love Him, His Word, His will, and yield to Him. When we face challenges, fellow family members, turn to God, not away from God. One of the things that should never happen for you and me, it should never be that we slip up and turn somewhere other than towards God. Turn to God. We must remember this is long term. This is a slow, thorough process, continuing in verse 4. And escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. All right, let's notice this evil desires. What is that? Well, it's desiring or wanting things that are contrary to God instead of loving His word and yielding to Him and His will. So that raises the question, do I really want my own will? Do I want God's will? Verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to add. Again, we have our part in it. Otherwise, there's no need to make any effort. Add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance. The Authorized Version, that is the King James, says patience. And the Greek word, hupomone, which means cheerful or hopeful endurance and constancy. In other words, enduring patient continuance or waiting. We've already read that God does and will answer. But as we can also see, patience is required. Sometimes we may not know exactly what God has in mind at a given time, so we wait. We stand still. We pray. We get out of the way. We focus on what we know God does give us to do. And we keep doing that. If at some point He then shows us He wants us to do something that up until that time we did not see or understand, then at that time we do what He shows us. At no time are we to ever get ahead of God by pushing for something because we lack patience. That would be essentially to pursue our own will. And that would be selfish. We'll come back to patience in a few moments, but let's read more of the context first. Verse 6 says, add to perseverance or patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice we should not be ineffective and unproductive in our knowledge. We can come back to that later also. Verse 9 says, but if anyone does not have them, he's nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, that is because of the possibility of forgetting and being blind, my brothers, be the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. We are to make our calling and election sure. So we're dealing with salvation, a matter of life and death. Verse 11 then says, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I think we would all agree that these are beautiful words, beautiful and precious promises. Yet we must always remember that this is long term. We have a long way to go to become like God. It's going to take time and a lot of hard work and a lot of patience. God is willing to be patient with us, but we also must learn the importance of patience with God and with our fellow man, and frankly, that we need ourselves. Now, I would like again to make something perfectly clear. When I say patient with God, I don't mean for a moment that He will fail us. God never fails us. But He works on a different time schedule than we do. We might prefer that He change His schedule. I'll tell you right now, He's not going to. He always knows best. Sometimes, perhaps we may not think so. And that's when we get ourselves in a bad place. Regardless, we will have to operate according to the way and in the time that He knows best. We may like shortcuts. I know I do. You know, back in the day when Cliff's Notes first came out, boy, I really liked those. Any kind of shortcut I had to being able to get to the answer to something and have to do something for school and cut down on that project, oh yeah, I like those shortcuts. I used to say to my father, I wish there were a shortcut to maturity. But, of course, there isn't. I'd like a shortcut to the end of what I feel like I'm dealing with right now. But there isn't. We all like shortcuts. But you know, there are no shortcuts with God's plan. It's essential that we reconcile ourselves to that. Let's think some more about patience and what's being asked of us. Patience is a part of the divine nature. It's one of the fruits of God's Holy Spirit. It's a part of the character that we are to be building in our Christian lives. Apart from patience, godly character cannot exist. Now, consider what I just said. Apart from patience, godly character cannot exist. And let that sink in. Apart from patience, godly character cannot exist. Take it home. Mill over it in your head. Think about it. Meditate on it. What does that mean then in the practical, the day-to-day, where the rubber meets the road, so to speak? It's characteristic of human beings to want what they want when they want it. No one is totally free of this tendency. And of course, if they don't get what they want when they want it, well, do you think they like it? Well, of course not. It's not easy to be patient. It's unsettling. It's uncomfortable. I mean, even a house payment. When you think about, if, for all of you who have house payments, which is probably most of us in here, we like the idea of not having a house payment. But there's no shortcut to that, is there? You have to methodically work away, chip away at making that house payment until the house gets paid off. There's so many things in life, that's how they work and operate. So mentally and spiritually, emotionally, getting our heads where they need to be to deal with that, to work with that, and to make positive steps and advancement in life is critically important. God is there for us, fellow family members. He loves hearing from us. Talk to Him. Let Him know how you feel, what's going on. Ask Him to give you the strength to keep marching forward, to get through whatever it is that you may be facing that's weighing on you. When we're out of our comfort zone, we're more likely to feel, say, and do things that we shouldn't. And this affects our attitude, our behavior, and our relationship with God. And sometimes, even God may get the blame for our feelings because, well, He's not intervening for us. Where is He? He's not doing what we want Him to do. We tell ourselves that God wouldn't want us to suffer like this. Where is He? He wouldn't want me to suffer like this. I know He says He's there, but I sure don't see Him. That's a dangerous thought process. The truth is, all of us have trials and tests. We've already read passages today in this message that shows God hears. He responds. He will take care of us. He will provide exactly what we need. None of us is totally free of things that complicate our lives. Things which can rob us of happiness that God wants us to have. Absolutely no one lives a perfect life. Therefore, no one gets the benefits of living a perfect life. But that doesn't mean that we get no benefits. God promises to bless those who are willing to do His will. So I ask the question, are you willing to be patient, to wait until God sees fit to respond to you? Are you willing to be patient? I think sometimes people feel that because God doesn't always respond when we feel He should, that somehow God doesn't care enough. Let's remember that God's purpose is to build, remember this, His purpose is to build holy, righteous, perfect character and divine character in us. That is not how it happens. It's a process. Sure, we'd love for it to happen like that, but that's not how it works. Sometimes people believe if they do not have consistent happiness and peace, well, something's wrong. That simply isn't true. It's important for us to always remember God is far more interested in us taking on His divine nature than He is in keeping us happy every moment of every day. God thinks of eternity far more than the moment. Now, that's an important concept for us to have in our heads. Eternity trumps the moment. Does any one of us believe that God is not supremely happy? That He's not above worry and frustration? Surely we must recognize God is perfect, that He's supremely happy, that He's not a worrier of what may possibly go wrong. When we find ourselves asking the question that I began with today from Psalm 13 and verse 1, which was, how long will you hide your face from me? Well, that's the time we go back to the Bible and we remind ourselves of how kind and gracious God has been to offer us eternal life for the spiritual body that will be above all human limitations. God promises we will not have the frustrations, worries, physical and mental pain that we have now. That's what He actually promises us. We'll be like God. We'll be supremely happy continually. we will be first to be changed. That's the title, First Fruits. How priceless is that? Could we really ask for more? When we're hurting, always make it a point to go pray and study more. When we're hurting, go talk to God. Well, I don't know what I have to say, or I don't feel like it, if you want something better in your life, you go talk to God. Now, you might, depending on what it is, share with someone close and ask them to pray with you. But where you truly turn and where you gain the strength that you need to be able to face and take on whatever it is you're battling comes from God's Holy Spirit. It comes from God. God promises we will not have the frustrations, worries, physical and mental pain that we have now. How priceless is that? Could we really ask for more? When we're hurting, always make it a point to go and pray, study more. Focus more on the prize than the here and now. That's the answer. That's what we saw in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. So God's given us His Holy Spirit and the Spirit to help us cope with the trials of life as we turn to Him continually for that help. It's a long, steady process, brethren, but it's not always easy, but it is unquestionably worth it. You know, one of the biggest things we have to deal with in life is our emotions and feelings, isn't it? Think about your own life. When these get bent out of shape, our feelings, our emotions, it affects our relationship with God and even our physical health, our mental health. The truth is that we need God and His help. So He wants us to go after it regularly and daily. He wants us to trust Him and patiently allow Him to work in our lives, changing us and building that character in us. When we're patient with God, we are demonstrating to Him that we trust Him with our lives. With all experiences in life, it's important to keep reminding ourselves that He is in charge and He does know what He's doing. Our job is to continue to trust Him, get out of His way, let Him lead, and empower us according to His will. And we are to do that without complaint. Now, here's the challenge, isn't it? I say this understanding that there's not a one of us that's been able to do this, at least nobody I know, never complain. But that's the goal. Whatever way He leads us, we are to follow. I'm sure that none of us thinks that we can do a better job of building godly character than God can, yet sometimes our emotions get in the way, our impatience and frustrations cause us to become impatient. Let's go back to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans 8, and I'd like to read verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Clearly, God's Spirit leads. We don't. What does that tell us? That tells us, wait a minute, I want to operate in a way that reflects to God. I understand who leads my life, and I'm really good with that. I'm going to submit to that. It does just that. It leads. You know what it doesn't do? Push, pull, or drag. We merely respond to His lead by getting out of His way and also by not resisting. Again, patience is definitely required. Let's now notice further instruction for God regarding patience. But as we do, let me first share that impatience is a part of human nature. That means it is something that we are to overcome. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. We recognize this chapter is the one that shares the fruit of the Spirit, as well as the works of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5. Let's notice verse 16. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. Well, let's stop for a moment. I ask you, what does that mean to you? Walk in the Spirit. Well, that means walk in a way that reflects to God and anybody else that's watching that we want to follow Him, obey Him more than anything else. And that we will. It means live by the Spirit. It takes effort, prayer, diligent study. I say then, walk in the Spirit, verse 16, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So you're choosing one path over the other. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. God is in the process of building godly character in us, and clearly that means we are to remove the works of the flesh and replace them with that of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit. Our thinking, our way of life, has to be controlled. When we were in 2 Peter chapter 1, we saw not only patience to be one of the fruit of the whole, of God's Spirit, but also self-control. We could go further down here in Galatians 5, which I won't take the time to do, but you can read the list there for yourself of what is works of the flesh, or what constitutes works of the flesh, and what constitutes fruit of the Spirit. Patience and self-control must be added to our character. These are part of the divine nature. I know we would all agree with this. It would be quite a challenge to keep our tongues from saying things that we should not say. Sometimes something can throw us for such a loop that we don't even know what's up or down for just a minute. It's just like being hit by a boxer or something, and you're just sort of dazed for a minute. Maybe you're numb from what's happening in your life. Where did this come from? What's happening here? This is not the person that I knew. If it's me or if it's someone we love, that's not the person that I knew. I can't understand what's happening here. But we have to get out in front of it and say, okay, I know what I must do. I know I must gather myself. I must get my bearings about me. And I still must follow what God says. Every time I lay hands on someone after baptism, and we're, of course, have the laying on of hands, pictures of receiving a God's Spirit into our lives, I always say, irrespective of what anybody else around this individual, spouse, parents, children, does or doesn't do in their life, you must stand for the truth. Period. It takes patience, takes self-control to sometimes handle situations where maybe we're experiencing something we never imagined we'd experience in life. It would be quite a challenge to keep our tongues from saying things we shouldn't say. Today we have multiple social forums via computer and phones in which to share our thoughts. For as good and helpful as these mediums may be at different times, unfortunately, they are also another outlet in which we can show ourselves to be unwise and lacking control of our emotions. This is something I hope we all think about before we open our mouths or type on the keyboard. Sometimes we have to go somewhere, maybe talk to God or do something to get our heads in the right place so that we don't do something foolish and post something that we'd love to have back. Let's add a little more to our definition of patience. Patience is possessing quiet, uncomplaining endurance during distress or annoyance or long suffering, is another way of putting it. When we go to God for help, we can do this. Let's go to Psalm 27. If there's anything that's made clear in the Bible, surely it is that sometimes we have to wait for God to intervene. Sometimes we have to wait for God. Psalm 27, I feel like that's happened a number of times that I can remember right off the top of my head. Excuse me, in my life, I would assume things can come rather quickly to yours as well in this thought. Psalm 27 and verse 14 says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." This fits very much with the concept of what we're talking about here in this message. How long must I wait? As long as it takes. I like what I read here. So often it is our heart that needs lifted, isn't it? According to what we just read, so long as we wait, that is, we are patient, God will strengthen our heart when we turn to Him. Always remember that God works things out in His time. The important thing is that you love God and His will. James chapter 1. James 1. Let's read another very familiar section of Scripture here, beginning in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. You know, you read that sentence or that phrase right there, and if you stop, you think to yourself initially, and perhaps you did the first time you read this. Now, wait a minute. Did I just read what I read? He wants me to do what? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The testing of our faith works or produces patience. Consider what that means. In other words, without being compelled to wait, there is no patience. And without patience, character is not complete. God does things in a very thorough way, doesn't He? His plan is thorough. His word is thorough. His work is thorough. His product is thorough. Consider the fact that God has chosen you and me to be among the first fruits. We're now in training. But again, we have to be patient and cooperative and allow God to do His work in us. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Let's take a look at verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, which means patience. So let me ask you, when you consider what we just read in verse 12, where does your mind go when you read something or watch something on TV that you know is nonsense or even sin? Maybe sometimes, maybe not at other times, do we recognize where our mind needs to be. Think about this when considering the question, Lord, how long must I battle? The answer is always as long as it takes to finish our race. Psalm 103, 103rd Psalm. Here in Psalm 103, I'd like to read beginning in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. If we stop right here, now we've been talking a lot about patience in this message today. Why is that important? Because here's what it leads to. He heals all your diseases, ultimately redeems your life from destruction, crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He'll not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He's not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Could we really put it any better than David did here? God loves His children. He loves us. He understands us better than we understand ourselves. When we repent, He's quick to forgive. When we turn to Him and we submit to Him and we wait on Him, He gives us everything that we need to shore up, even, or perhaps I should say, particularly when we're hurting. Now, I'd like to take a moment to also point out that although God is truly everything that we need, if there are slow periods of development in our lives, We're the ones at fault, not God. Let's turn to Isaiah 53 and remind ourselves of Christ's sacrifice for us. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. Let's begin in verse 4. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to be slaughtered to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Now, outside of the obvious, Christ's sacrifice for us, what else is this telling us? This shows us an example that you and I are to follow. We don't need to be a loud social media advocate. We need to be a light, an example, an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Fellow family members, I find both these passages, both encouraging to read as well as important to appreciate. Let's pick up now in verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people he was stricken. They made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He's put up him to grief, and when you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. You know, when Jesus died, his purpose for being on earth was accomplished. He never objected to God's plan and purpose. He didn't complain. Rather, he did what the Father wanted. And of course, he looked beyond this physical existence. This is what God wants to see in you and me. No matter what's going on around us. We've talked at different times. There have been conversations that many of you would have had in this room here long before I ever moved into the area, because the same conversations we would have where I was, different places around, and that is the coming into the spring holy days and also coming into the fall holy days. It seems that they are, in some ways, times of trial for many people in God's church. Now, it's not always that way, and sometimes they're more severe than other times. But the fact that we're combined with not only coming into these days, but living in a time and an era where there is so much anger, it's very important that we have our heads where they need to be so that we can face whatever it is that God may allow us to face. What patience Jesus demonstrated in all that he did, you and I surely have nothing to complain about. But I also know that pain is real. It does hurt. No matter whether we're talking about physical pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain, financial pain, mental anguish, pain simply hurts. It also hurts to see others hurting. And that can cause us to become impatient sometimes. Ironically, that's the time we need most to be patient. Cry out to God. He loves hearing from us. James chapter 5. James 5. Every parent in this room can relate to what I'm about to say right here. We love hearing from our kids. God loves hearing from us. James chapter 5, verse 7. Be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, For the coming of the Lord is at hand. Don't lose sight of the big picture. Verse 9 says, don't grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Now, these are beautiful and meaningful passages to us, or at least they should be. But they're far more difficult passages to implement in our lives when we're being tested. Now, I said that I hope this would be an encouraging sermon today, and I hope that it has been for you. But as we come to close, let's turn over to Philippians chapter 3 first. Some of us may feel, you know, we haven't done a very good job of building patience over the years, and we may get somewhat discouraged when we think about it. But let's remember what Paul shares with us here in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3 and beginning in verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected. None of us has reached that point of perfection yet, have we? But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. No matter who we are, no matter what trials we may find ourselves in the midst of, our job is to forge ahead. Let the past go, if that's what's needed, and move ahead. The past is over. We can't go back one second and change anything. We must move forward. We cannot allow our past to deter us now or in the future. Learn from the past, but don't stay in it. Verse 14, as we continue here in chapter 3, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Once again, a reminder, never lose sight of the goal or the prize. That's what will motivate you to keep moving forward. It's about the lifetime that's coming, much more than the here and now in many ways. But that requires us to understand that to the point that it alters how we choose to live. Verse 15 says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, well, God will reveal even this to you. Without a doubt, we are living in difficult times. We are living in a time of increasing godlessness. But we do all have what we need with the help of God's Holy Spirit. The more we respond to that in our life, the stronger we will be in any battle that we face. As I shared early in this message, trials can be viewed in different ways. The way God would like us to see our trial is by seeing it as a growth opportunity. Sometimes it's a matter of flipping wording around and thinking about it through that lens. Not something that beats us down, but wait a minute. This is an opportunity for me to grow. Let's encourage one another consistently rather than allow the negative thinking of this godless world to take root in our lives in any way. Let's do everything we can to be there for one another, to encourage and lift one another when we sense and recognize that's what's needed. Lord, how long must I battle? As long as I have breath to breathe, because what God offers is positively worth it.